Kate B. Going to go to Stevenage now, and what a woman. She started the Friday meeting, the women's meeting, and she's fucking always helping out with the mum's meetings. And yeah, great to know her. Great that she's a part of Tosnua. And fucking let her talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, yeah, so I'm Kate. Super mega addict in loads of ways, including alcohol. So when I came into recovery, I was 27. I've been sober for 7.5 years. Jeb, that's 2,880 days. I just checked for you. Yeah, and it's been pretty fucking hard, actually, a lot of the time. But it's been brilliant. So looking back over basically my whole life, it's clear to me now that I was really looking for connection. I grew up in, like, my home was very disconnected. My parents weren't addicts or alcoholics, but they were love addicts. So I was neglected in that way. My parents were always off pursuing relationships and things like that. So I'm also like an adult child and all that sort of thing, because, you know, my needs weren't met in that way. And at the age of 14, I found myself living on my own. And it wasn't a great start for a 14-year-old girl. You can probably imagine I attracted the wrong kind of people, and just ended up starting to use and drink and get into really shitty situations. Unfortunately for me, I wasn't one of these people that had like a good few years or a good decade. Unfortunately for me, my drinking had crap consequences straight away, as you could probably imagine for a 14-year-old child. And it was because I was looking for connections. I was looking for a group. I was looking for a family. I was looking for a dad, or I was looking for a sister or a best friend or a mum. And I would just like take them wherever I could. And it was never in good places, because when you're like damaged and hurt and up shit street, you tend to meet other people that are in that situation as well, don't you? And so I didn't meet healthy people. So yeah, I had always been, I'm going to try and stay on topic because I also have ADHD, so I go off. I can either talk for 2 minutes or like 4 hours. So I try to stay focused. I was meant to set a timer and I forgot. So I always was really jealous of people. I had this boyfriend once in school, and they were a really churchy family. So I was like, I'll be really churchy, and like went to church with them and was like, this is it. And I was just so like, I felt like finally we've got like this group where you walk into the church and everyone's like, oh, chats to you, and they take your kids off. And I was like, okay, I'll believe in Jesus and stuff then, even though like I never ever did. It was just, I just wanted to belong. I just wanted to feel like part of their club. And inevitably relationships would break down and I'd be chucked out of that club or chucked out. Like at one point I went out of a Hell's Angel. So then I was like, I'm a Hell's Angel. I found my club. I found my group. I found my family. And that wasn't a great one either. Oh my God, it was ridiculous. Then I hit my rock bottom. By this point, I had 2 kids. I was a single parent. And my rock bottom, just quickly, was a night where I'd blacked out on the sofa. I was a 24/7 drinker. I'd blacked out on the sofa and my son, who was 6, went missing. He let himself out the house. He was 6. Mummy couldn't wake mummy up and he went missing. And my 2-year-old was asleep on the sofa next to me. Anyway, it was terrifying. So I was running around the street. Where's my baby? Where's my baby? And my neighbour had taken him in and he was safe and he was asleep. And I was really angry at her for taking in my child, because I was like, how dare you? She wouldn't give him back. I mean, I wouldn't have given him back either. But at the time, I was just so like, how dare you? It was a Sunday and I got in after being told that I couldn't have my child back. And I was just like, what the fuck? It never occurred to me in this whole time of drinking since I was like 13 that alcohol was a problem for me until that particular night. And I rung that AA helpline and spoke to some like old man in Scotland. And then fast forward to the next Friday and I was sitting in my first AA meeting and unfortunately for me, not unfortunately, I don't know, my first meeting was in like this proper churchy church, yeah, that had rows and rows of people. It had a table at the front that had like one of them thing with all the candles off it. They're all lit and there was people at the front. And I felt like we were going to like sacrifice a goat or something, right? And it was so churchy. It was unreal. And I thought, are we going to start singing? I just didn't know because, and I just thought, fucking hell, I've come full circle and back round to like the God thing. But I really was so, I knew I was going to die, basically. I was really physically unwell, as well as all the other ways that I was unwell. And so I got sponsored and everything, and I did like step three on my knees in her living room, like on a pillow. We both got down on one of her little cushions off of her sofa and did the step three prayer. And I just felt like a total prick, but I was just like, I'm just going to have to do it because this is what I'm being told to do. And I really liked my sponsor. She was a really cool woman. And I thought, I'm just going to have to do it because she seems to know what she's talking about. She's happy. She's got really nice hair. She's got a nice flat. She's sober. I'm just going to have to do it. And all that sort of thing of fake it till you make it and all that stuff. I was like, okay, maybe I'll just get it eventually. I'll just fake it till I make it. And I just faked it and never made it. And after, I think it was 3 years, 2 years maybe, I hit like a bit of a rock bottom in AA where I just was like, I just can't do this shit anymore. Like, I'm going to meetings all the time. There was a meeting every single night in my town, attended by the same five old men talking the same old shit every night. And I just thought, I just can't listen to you anymore. I'm sure you're all very happy. I'm sure everything's fantastic for you and God, but I just can't do this anymore. So I didn't go to a meeting for like 2 years. And I was fine, to be fair. I didn't drink. I was all right. But also I just did nothing to really sort of develop. That sounds really cheesy, but like I just didn't do anything internal or whatever. I was just like living, and I was okay with that because I was like, do you know what, I've worked my ass off coming into recovery with two small children as a single parent, going to a treatment center during the day, AA meetings every night. That absolutely knackers the shit out of you. I was knackered, right, because I worked so hard. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have a bit of time off from dragging my kids on buses to try and get to meetings to hang out with pedos. So yeah, I just had a couple of years off. And then a girl that I was in the treatment center with said that she started a women's meeting. And when I came into recovery as well, another thing is like I was so ill straight away. Like I did stop drinking and I did stop taking drugs, but like other stuff came up. Like I used AA like speed dating. Like I'd go to a meeting and just, so I just slept my way around AA in my town, not with those old men. There was other people, because I was still just so like, just because I'd stopped drinking doesn't mean that I was suddenly fine and okay. Like I was still absolutely fucked up. Oh yeah. So when she said about this women's meeting, I was like, that's probably safe. I started going to women's meeting, and that's like where I found my home in like women's meetings. Just because, I mean, I'm married now, but yeah, as women's meetings are a special place for me because I am a mum. And I've had to get recovery as a mum with children. Oh, it was so bloody hard. So that's another reason why I stopped going to meetings as well, is just because of all the God stuff. I just couldn't hear these old men talk about God anymore. And I was just like, ugh. And once I started going back to meetings a few years ago, there was less of it around. There was still like in the readings and things at the beginning, but there was less people talking about that everything just depended on this magical man. And I was like, okay, I can, it's a bit easier for me to digest now, because the whole fake it till you make it thing was like, okay, I've been faking it for like what, 5 years? At what point am I just fake? Like, I don't want to fake it. What if I never make it? Like, I'll come into, like, you come into recovery and people are like, you can be your true, real, authentic self, but then on the other hand I'm being told to fake it, and I'm like, that's conflicting. I don't want to speak in a meeting. And then when I stopped sharing, like that happened to me so many times, when I stopped sharing at the end of the meeting, you get the people come up to you that like squeeze your shoulder, be like, it's all right, you'll get it. Or it's okay, you know, your time will come. And I'm just like, don't touch me. That's what I love now. Now that I've found this part of AA, it's like I can share. And like, I don't feel people are looking at me like she's probably going to die by the end of the week. And I just love that I love that this exists, because I'm just, I don't know if you had that experience where people just always looked at you like you were doing it wrong. And people have been looking at me and telling me that I'd been doing it wrong for my whole fucking life. And now I feel very protective of like all of you and of our world, because I don't know about you, but I kind of had to really sort of fight to get here. Makes me feel quite emotional, actually, because when I come up against people now that are like that sort of, it's this way, this is where, this is AA, this is the book, this is it, this is how you do it. And if you're outside here at all, you're doing it wrong, you're fucked. And I've learned that that is just not the case now. Like every single person that I've met in recovery is like a real whole separate person. And my whole sort of, I don't know, schooling in recovery of early AA and treatment center stuff was just that it is just a one size fits all. And the beauty of this, of our corner of AA, is that that actually just isn't the case. Like, and I want to sort of open my windows and be like, there's another way. Like, because I just get so excited about it. Like when I see people come in and they're like, oh, I just can't, because I can't get on with the praying and I can't get on with this. I want to be like, fuck the praying, it's okay. Like, you don't have to die. Like, you can still stop drinking and stop. You're going to be okay. I only found out about this stuff, this secular stuff, in a traditional meeting, because a woman shared about it. And I was like, it felt like I'd been like punched in the gut. Like, what? Because she'd been sober for about 7,000 years. And I was just like, I felt the vibe of the meeting change once when this woman shared. And I kind of was like, and you kind of felt everyone's back go up. But I was just like fangirling and like sending her a private message like, oh my God, tell me more. So I do share about it a lot. I'm always really open in like all my home groups. Like I, you know, help run a mum's meeting and a women's and the warm meeting, and everyone knows where I'm coming from. And sometimes I'm kind of like the token no God girl, but I am okay with that, because I just wish everyone knew about this stuff. It breaks my heart that we're not more known. But I'm sure we're getting bigger already, aren't we, in the sort of year, and it's almost 2 years, I think, for me being here. We're getting bigger and bigger. But I feel now that I've always been really secure in my recovery, to be honest. I've never really looked back, because I knew that I had to do it. And now that people, you lot around me, are kind of doing the same thing, it's like I've got more acceptance of myself, of how I'm doing it. Even I don't need other people to say that I'm doing it okay. Do you know what I mean? Because we're all doing it this secular kind of way. It doesn't feel like I'm just on my own now. I'm that one girl who just doesn't get God. There's actually loads of us that are sober and thriving and amazing. And that's what I've wanted. I wanted that connection. I wanted that group. I wanted the family. I wanted the sisters. I wanted everything like that. And that's what I've got. That's what I get now in these meetings with people like you. That's all I've ever wanted. And I got it. Yay. Got it. So yeah, that's it. That's really all I've got to say, and I hope that was all right. Thanks for listening to me.
Ooh, cheers, Kate. Thank you. And if that's the first time you met Kate, why don't you love her? That's the only question I have for you. Yeah, excellent stuff, Kate. Thank you ever so much.